Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain-rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why, like you, he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
So now we know how the game works. We've got predators walking right through the front door of your kid's school, clean background checks, glowing references, even after multiple allegations in past districts. Because no one's required to sound the alarm. But let's stop circling the mess and talk about what actually fixes it. Because this is where it gets harder. It's easy to call out school boards. It's easy to drag districts for gutless cover-ups and hard-waving HR tactics. But what about the law? What about state legislation? What about national databases, reporting mandates, real consequences? What kind of reform actually sticks? There has been some movement, thankfully. Texas just passed a law to crack down on this exact thing. But it's too late for the Brink family. In every other state, still playing hot potato with red flags, still trusting paperwork over people, still assuming the last district handled it while praying they're not the one who ends up on the front page. So in this final segment with defense attorney and former prosecutor Eric Faddis, we're talking solutions. How do we close the loopholes? What would real accountability actually look like? And why hasn't it happened yet? Let's go bigger than the blame game. Let's talk about how we stop this from ever happening again. Let's get into it. Is this more of a societal problem where we don't know what the hell to do with S offenders? Because, outside of school districts, it's very lax half the time in terms of what is prosecuted, how long the punishments are. It's just like, yeah, they're icky people, but we can't kill them. So, some countries have just said that, like, let's just kill them. There's nothing that's going to work here. But it just seems to be like, unless something horrible happens, and that is documented and proven, you can have somebody that has decades of complaints against them, but never quite proven because they know how to walk right up to that line without getting caught. And it just goes on and festers forever. Is this a problem? I get the role of unions. I'm not completely against them. I'm against them when they seem to have complete blinders on and believe that every person that's a part of their union is infallible, which really seems to be the case, unless that person is on camera SA-ing someone, or there's provable evidence from an R-kit that shows it, it's like, well, how would we have known? I don't know. Every school for the last 25 years and all the parents saying this guy's a creep around my kids, that might have been clue number one. How can we fix that?
You know, one thing that comes to mind is in like the 1910s, 1920s, early 20th century, oftentimes a person would be convicted of a crime in one state. They just moved to another state and there's no objective record. The new state wouldn't even know about their history. And then there were systems put in place, including what's called NCIC, which is a federal criminal database that logs both charges and convictions in other states. And so when the offender goes to a new state, the new state says, hey, wait a sec, in Arkansas, you did this same thing and were convicted 2 years ago. Now you're charged with it here. That's a problem. There is no such correlate in the education system. And so these new receiving states don't have that information. Maybe there should be some kind of database. You know, there is for police officers, at least in Colorado, where I practice, such that they can't, you know, screw off in one jurisdiction and then go to a new one and have the new one not find out. There's this database that can be consulted. Perhaps we need something like that that would at least keep a record, because we're talking about children at risk of abuse or neglect.
Doesn't this feel like this should have been a decision that was figured out in like 1988 and not 2025, that we're like, hey, maybe we should protect our kids from potential predators, because this seems to be a trending problem for the last many a decades. I think my thought, because I was kind of shocked to learn about just how loose and fast they play with these rules. And the Andrew McGann case is what brought that all up, a murder on a hiking trail. And then how did this guy get here? Oh, he's a teacher. Oh, holy crap. Look at this trend. It didn't take long to find out the guy wasn't a lovely model citizen. But the school districts can only dig so far as well. And people start coming out of the woodwork when someone gets exposed. If we were to look at the future, and this is just, you know, hypothetical, if you were helping to write the model for the legislation on this to fix passing the trash, what's the first thing you would codify if they came to you? How would you begin trying to get this thing to an acceptable form for these systems to run effectively and efficiently?
You know, I personally think a good starting point that's very workable, that's very relatively easy to institute, would be a national database that logs accusations and, founded wrongdoing, that kind of thing. In Colorado, like I said, we had a problem with police officers where they'd be in some remote jurisdiction and they'd do something illegal or horrible, and then they would just move to a different jurisdiction. The new jurisdiction wouldn't always know about it. The new police department would hire them, and lo and behold, they're using excessive force again. So we implemented this statewide database that lists all the accusations and also the substantiated wrongdoing. And defense attorneys, in fact, have access to that information. What would be so hard about having a national database that has that, so such that every time there is an alleged incident, it's at least reported. There's an indication as to whether it was substantiated by evidence or not. It wouldn't necessarily put a scarlet letter on teachers who were wrongly accused, because it would show that the allegation was not substantiated. That would be a starting point, and it would be relatively easy. However, without the Federal Department of Education, the resource issue might come into play.
I guess the question there is, what does founded mean? Is this a founded complaint? As we're playing legal chess match back and forth of what about that? Because is it founded? And I get it. But how do you define that if it's never prosecuted, if there was nothing to prosecute? Is it number of complaints? You know, that would be certainly something. If I were looking at hiring a teacher, I'd be like, well, there's quite a few of these unfounded complaints. If there's like one, maybe, but I would think you'd almost be going for none. You might immediately hurt someone and their job prospects of getting that job if there's one and it's unfounded. That's not fair to that teacher. If they're a good teacher and it was just, a shit kid or something that was accusing them of something that was absolutely not real, just, you know, in a vindictive way to hurt the teacher's reputation and whatnot. And I'm not thinking you're going to get a lot of that in elementary, but certainly in high school, that could happen. So how do we do that? What would founded be? What does that mean in a functional way where we can protect the good teachers while making sure the predators get caught and removed?
One way to think about it, Tony, is, look at the criminal law. The general rule across the country, there's a federal standard for a burden of proof that has to be met before a person can be convicted of a crime. That burden is proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Sometimes there's gray areas and it's hard to determine, but that's the law. That's how it goes. What is stopping us from having some sort of federal standard on the abuse investigation side of these education institutions? It doesn't necessarily have to be proof beyond a reasonable doubt. The one that's just lower than that is clear and convincing evidence. That's something more than 50%, but less than the highest standard, proof beyond a reasonable doubt. I think that statutorily, legislatively, we could agree on a standard that makes sense, that would protect against false allegations because it's a high standard, but that would also bring some accountability and some transparency for folks who have accusations, and especially repeated accusations.
Who's in charge then in the district of deeming it clear and consistent, clear and convincing evidence?
Clear and convincing.
Yeah, clear and convincing. Would require maybe probably some training on this, which is not out of the question. Or do you need someone that's just there, or someone within a police department within each community that is the head of this, that knows what to be looking for? Would this be something that could be implemented with existing administrators to handle that there and then move it up further if need be? But that seems to be the problem we're at right now, where there has been a lot of clear and convincing evidence. They just don't want the clear and convincing proof being shown back on their school name.
Oh, sure. And it's an important question. Do we have some kind of independent tribunal where we have an impartial arbiter who to whom this accusation is posed? We have arbitration throughout the country in like every industry there is, in construction, in manufacturing, and everything. And so, there are certainly some wrinkles that we'd have to iron out in terms of the logistics, but it's doable. Perhaps it is legal counsel associated with the school district or something to that effect, and perhaps the accused gets legal counsel. This makes things more cumbersome, perhaps more expensive. But when we're talking about the high stakes interest of protecting children, sometimes you got to go there.
Yeah, you certainly do. And then once we have all the answers, like you and me always come up with all of the answers, we're going to fix the world someday, Eric. Then there's the money aspect of it. That's where everything falls apart. Oh, you got to pay for all that too. And that's where districts are like, we don't have enough money to buy cupcakes. So more or less legal counsel for all. So there's that problem. But I think it's a whole reworking. It's a whole reevaluation of the entire ecosystem. And I think, in my opinion, a greater acceptance that your teachers are fallible, because that seems to be the biggest thing. Everybody's infallible until they're not. And then they just disappear to another district and we pretend that they were never here. There's not a lot of, yeah, there's bad people and we're actively working to get rid of them. And we're actively working to protect your children. We take this stuff seriously. That seems to be like a much stronger message to parents today than just everything's wonderful, everything's great. What do you mean about Mr. So-and-so? We didn't have anybody that name. Oh, we quickly deleted it from our website the moment we realized that that was the guy that killed the people in the park. That's what we saw here. And I don't blame this district. They, again, based on what tools they had and the information that was available to them, they did not know this man's history, and they really couldn't have known this man's history without violating some privacy laws to get it. So that's where change seems to need to take place in a lot of areas. If you've listened to all four of our segments in the last handful of days with Eric about this, you've heard how the system let Andrew McGann in. He's the killer, the Devil's Den State Park guy who took out that family and left those kids orphaned. You heard how it let him stay. You heard how it pushed him from school district to district, wrapped in silence, and stamped with clean exit papers. And you've heard why this keeps happening. Because there's no unified system for tracking bad actors. Because mandatory reporting doesn't always mean actually reported. Because some districts are more afraid of lawsuits and bad headlines than of harboring a predator. Because now we've talked about what it's going to take to fix this. State legislation, federal oversight, shared databases, independent review boards, mandatory background disclosures, not just on criminal records, but on resignation history, disciplinary actions, closed investigations, even when they didn't need charges. If someone left a school under a cloud of suspicion, that cloud needs to follow them. Sunlight is the only way to get things cleared up. We also talked about cameras in classrooms. Cameras on bodies, body cams. Because I can guarantee if you put a body cam on a predator, they might not be making so predatory of choices. In fact, they might just leave that career path altogether. And wouldn't that be lovely? Yeah, they're still out there being a predator. You shift them out of this environment of children. But at least they're not by the kids. At least not in that setting. Mandatory audio and visual documentation. That would help. It's not to punish teachers, but to protect them. Protect the kids. And keep the good teachers who've been left to defend themselves in a system that too often eats its own. And most of all, we talked about responsibility, because until schools, lawmakers, and unions stop playing PR dodgeball and start prioritizing child safety over reputational management, this isn't going away. We'll keep getting more McGanns, more Brinks that are left with their families destroyed and dead, more families ruined because someone didn't want to make a scene. This isn't just about fixing a loophole. It's about rewiring the culture of silence. And it starts with people like you, parents, educators, voters, demanding it. So don't just listen to this episode. Share it. Bring it to your school board. Email your legislature, your legislators. Ask them what they're doing to stop the next one. And they'll give you an answer. But if that's not a satisfactory answer, you need to push them. Because if they don't have a reasonable answer, we already know how the story will end. You are the one to prevent it, because they're clearly not. Do your part. Let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Press subscribe wherever you are listening to this or watching this. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi wherever you get podcasts or on YouTube to find us on each platform. And like I said, comment on YouTube. Please press subscribe. I greatly appreciate that. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.